Good morning. Welcome all of you that are visiting with us today. We're delighted to have you with us. And surely that's a good song, "Are You Sowing the Seed of the Kingdom?" Because we're going to be studying in a little while concerning the things concerning the kingdom of God. And we want to invite you to come back tonight. I'll be preaching tonight is on the subject from Psalms 139. God is there. Hope you can come back. I appreciated Matt's prayer for those that are ill. And I was talking to Faye Baker's daughter, Teresa Friday. And as you know, her daughter, Myra's, been in the intensive care over at St. Thomas. And that's over in Nashville. And I talked to her, to Teresa, and she's telling me that she was a little better, but they really want us to pray for her. Will you bow your heads? Let's have a special prayer for her. Eternal God, today we want to thank you that Charlie was able to get out of the rehab. He's so thrilled, and we are too. And we ask you so many times for so much, and a lot of times we do not pause and thank you for hearing our prayers. For him, we're so grateful and pray that he'll continue to do well. Today we're praying, Father, in a special way for Myra. We pray that you'll be with her. We ask you, Father, to be with the doctors, the nurses, and for all those, Father, that are attending to her care. Be with Faye and the family as they wait and as they pray, and they're doing all that they can. We just pray, Father, thy will be done. We ask you to be with us here, to be a family, to care for one another. Pray in the morning, noon, at night, and other times for one another. For we need that. We need your help. And we thank you for it. Please forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of God in Acts chapter 8, there's a man named Philip, and he's done a lot of good things. Philip was an individual who had helped out in serving the church in Jerusalem. Philip was the man that actually taught and baptized the eunuch. And we're talking about the one thing actually this morning that he did when he was at Samaria. I like to read verse 12 of Acts chapter 8, where the Bible says, "And when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Think about that. We want a lot of people to be baptized, don't we? There are a lot of people that we love and we're concerned about who have never been baptized. I know what Philip did, and I'm persuaded, my friends, that this is help us to lead others to Jesus Christ. Preaching the things that concern the kingdom of God. And when they believe, Philip preaching these things. Now you got to have faith. We know what faith is. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of not things not seen. We learn in Hebrews 11 verse 6, without it, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When Philip was preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, he was actually preaching the things concerning the church. And the church is so important. As a matter of fact, Paul is also spoken of. In Acts chapter 28, verse 17, came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, he wanted them to know something. Listen to what he says. "Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging." What is he going to tell these people? Well, the Bible says, "To whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets and from morning till evening. He was persuading people. He was preaching. He was testifying. He was telling them about the church. Why? Because when you preach Christ, as Philip did in Acts 8 and verse 5, you'll preach the things concerning the kingdom of God. In verse 30 and 31, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Preaching is so important. Preaching. God has designed it. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, Paul says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." Galatians 6 and verse 14, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." No wonder Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, you go and preach. We need that in Athens, Alabama. We need it in the state of Alabama. We need it all over the world. Things concerning the kingdom of God, they're to be preached. They're to be heard. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, the Bible tells us it's by the foolishness of preaching that God saves man. He wants us to be involved in preaching the glorious gospel. But what are the things that we preach as we preach the kingdom of heaven? Number one, in order for there to be a kingdom, there's got to be a king. And the Bible tells us who our king is. I think a lot of members of the church fail to realize that when we become members of the Lord's church, then we're subjected to the king. And that king is Jesus Christ. "Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father through Him." Colossians 3, verse 17. A king possesses authority, power, and our king does. The king of the kingdom, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, brings about our testifying, preaching, and persuading people to turn to our king, the King of glory. And my friends, when you look to the Word of God in 1 Timothy 6, verse 15, He is spoken of as the King of kings. No one comparable to it. And the Bible tells us, "Which in His times He shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords." And when we're preaching the things concerning the kingdom of heaven, we're preaching the things concerning the King. He has that all authority. In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, "God hath put all things under His feet and given Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." And then we connect with that Colossians 1, 18. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. When I'm preaching concerning the kingdom of God, I'm telling about the King. I'm telling about He who is King of kings. I'm telling you, my friend, concerning the fact that He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He has all authority, Colossians 3, 17. But then, when we're preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, we're talking about those who are citizens in that kingdom. Are you in it? Why wouldn't men want to subject to the greatest king of all kings? Why, we read in Colossians 1 and verse 13 that we've been delivered out of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I want to be in there, don't you? I want my family to be in there. I want us all to be in there. Why? When we're preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, we're telling men and women and boys and girls who are subject to that law that they can become citizens of the greatest kingdom ever. Because in the house of God, We've been converted. And we now serve King Jesus. John 3, Jesus said, unless you are born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You got to be born again. Philip went down to Samaria. He preached, and the Bible tells us in verse 12, and when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Oh, what good news. The preaching of the kingdom, those who are in that kingdom, surely, my friends, helps us to realize how important it is to preach the things concerning the kingdom of God. But I want to tell you this morning, you might be in that kingdom, but you don't have the right to just do anything you want to do. No, sir. That's the biggest mistake I think members of the Church of Christ make. Sometimes you hear members of the church say, I've been baptized. Great, wonderful, marvelous. What are you doing now that you're in the kingdom of God? He has a law. His law is from Him, the King. And we got to listen to what He has to say. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I'm persuaded there are people who are in the members of the church who don't want to be bothered with anybody else. They don't come to services regularly. When they come, they just come. They want to be not noticed. They don't want to be involved. The law of Christ teaches us that we are to be servants. Servants of the King. And that means we've got to be busy. We've got to listen to He who is the mediator of the New Testament. Hebrews 9:15. The mediator of a better covenant, which was established among better promises. Hebrews 8 and verse 6. And we all, as citizens of the kingdom, have responsibilities to do the will of God. His law tells us about the church. There's only one. You go out to all kinds of places today, you turn your radio on, you can turn on TV, you can look on the computer, and you'll find a multiplicity of churches by different names. But when Philip went down preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, He was preaching the name, in the name of Jesus Christ. There's only one, because God said there is. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, there is one body. What is the body? Colossians 1, 6, verse 18 says, He is the head of the body, the church. So there's one church. And when members of the church of Christ get to the point where they get embarrassed because we say what the Bible says, friends, there's something wrong with one's conversion. The Bible says there's only one church. There's not two, not three, not four, not five. There's only one. That's exactly what Philip preached when he went down to Samaria. He was preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. Each local congregation has its own elders. One set of elders are not over other elders. Why? That's what the law of Christ teaches us. When Paul was speaking to the church and the elders of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, notice what he said. Take heed unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Elders are to do what? Feed the church of God. How can they feed the church of God if they don't even know the will of God? Men's got to be, who are elders, got to know what God says concerning their work. He wants elders, but there are specifications, and He tells us what they are. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7, also in Titus 1. He gives us a list of qualifications for men who serve as elders in His kingdom. And that doesn't mean they can meet two or three of them and He approves. No. Every single qualification has got to be met by those whom the Bible says the Holy Spirit appoints. He's the one that puts them as overseers in the church. When you're preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, you preach what God says on every subject. And when it comes to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, how wonderfully good it is when men who meet those qualifications are willing to serve in that kingdom of God, serve as elders, overseers of the flock of God. And every man in this house who is a member of the Lord's church should work and do everything you can to not only if you can't be an elder, to support those that are. We need them. We need men that the Bible says are in the house of God, serving God, meeting His qualifications, and doing the will of God. There cannot be a greater work for any man on this earth, for someone who desires the office, the work of an elder. Philip, what are you doing? Preaching. Preaching what, Philip? Preaching. Preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. And you're talking about what? You're talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my beloved friends, this morning, listen to me. There's so many problems in this old world today. There are so many subjects that you can get in this pulpit and you can expound on. There are social issues. There are family problems. Let me tell you, the one thing that God wants in His kingdom is His law to be preached from the King of Kings and to be preached exactly as it is revealed. We have a responsibility, great responsibility. Look at what I have to do. I have to give an answer to God. Here I am preaching. What an august responsibility. Preaching what? The things concerning the kingdom of God. Why? He's going to hold me responsible. Why? Because I'm supposed to preach just the will of God. Friend, let me tell you, we have to obey Christ. Hebrews 5:8-9, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things that He suffered, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. I ask you this question. When Jesus went into the garden to pray, what was His prayer? His prayer before God, Father, if it be possible, what? If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. You know what they're saying? God, is there any other way? God, is there another way? If there is, let this cup pass from me. However, not my will, but Thy will be done. None of us know how long we're going to live. None of us know how we're going to die. None of us know when we're going to die. We all know that we shall die. In the book of Ecclesiastes 9:5, the living know that they shall die. And then what? Well, there are blessings in this life being in the kingdom of God. I want to throw three or four of them on the lesson be yours. Number one, you're blessed in your deed. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You want to be blessed? What does he say? Here's how you can be. Whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty, look in the book, and continueth therein. Don't just find out. Keep doing it. Don't give up. Don't defer. And then he says, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. James, who is the man that shall be blessed? Here he is. He looks in the perfect law. He learns it. He continues in it. He didn't forget it. He's daily working in the service of God. Number two, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and guess what? The truth shall make you free. But what does he say? If you continue in my word. Over and over and over, beloved, you just see passage after passage in the Bible about knowing the will of God, about continuing in the Word of God, and about preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. Thirdly, I love this passage. Listen to what Jesus says to us and to his disciples. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. What? Here's the person that loves me. Here's the one that really cares for me. Here's the one that belongs to me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And Judas saith unto him, that's not Judas Iscariot, the other, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Now listen. Jesus the master teacher answers. Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and guess what? Out of the words of Jesus, and we will abide in him. Can't have anything greater than that. We will make our abode with him. Fourthly and lastly, remember that passage? Jesus is speaking. He's saying to Guy McDaniel, he's saying it to our young preachers, he's saying to our elders, our deacons, he's saying to you mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, grandmas and grandpas, if you abide in me, and my words, there it is again, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. My friend, this is one of the greatest blessings of being in the kingdom of God. You shall ask what ye will, and look at it, it shall be done unto you. I don't know how many times people come to me and they'll say, in your personal prayer, would you pray for me? I'm going through a lot of trouble right now. I've got heartaches, family problems. Brother Guy, just when you pray, will you pray for me? Pray for my family. Pray for us. And as soon as I can, their name is called before God. And I'm praying for them. Because you see, I need your prayers. I ask you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me. Because I want to live right. I want to live in the keeping with God's will. But I make mistakes. Like all of us. But I'll tell you one thing. When we know what the will of God is and we abide in it, praise the Lord, we know what God's going to do for us. And hope you'll come back tonight because we're going to reveal some of those things. Preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. Philip went down to Samaria. What did he do? He preached the things concerning the kingdom of God. and the name of Jesus Christ. And what was the response? What happened? The Bible tells us many of them that believed, or those that believed, were baptized. Baptized. Because they heard the preaching. They believed the preaching. And they obeyed. They were baptized. Will you this morning be baptized? Won't you arise, be baptized? Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And if you're a child of God this morning and you haven't lived right, do right by correcting your life and asking God to forgive you and letting us pray with you. This beautiful hymn, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Won't you obey Him? Many believe, they believe the things preaching concerning the kingdom of God, and they were baptized. Won't you respond this morning, obeying, while together we stand and while we sing.